The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for the second hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS. Pleasure and a privilege to be with you today. As always, thanks so much for joining us. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. If you want to join into the festivities, although it'll be a little bit before we can get back on over to the phones, we should be joined in the next segment by Stephen Tubbs, who's celebrating today 4 years of his show, if you can believe it, my goodness, of the Stephen Tubbs Show, which is, of course, 3 to 7 every weekday here on News Talk 710 KNUS. We'll talk about that with Stephen and then also break down his thoughts on the Douglas County show that went on yesterday. I saw him live tweeting some of it, and leads me to believe he watched a lot of the board meeting of Douglas County schools. And I did have some listeners say, hey, are you going to be reach out and ask, hey, are you going to be talking about this tomorrow morning? And absolutely. Not only are we going to talk about this, but we're also going to talk a little bit about declining enrollment in Colorado's public pre-K through 12 education system. My latest column yesterday in the Denver Gazette entitled Declining Enrollment, Schools Bear the Blame, in which I quote my first guest of the morning, Priscilla Ron. Of course, she is the vice chairwoman of the Colorado Republican Party. She is also, this is her day job, a Denver Public Schools teacher. Priscilla Shaw Ron joins me here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Good morning, Priscilla.
Well, good morning, Jimmy. It's good to be here.
Good to have you. Welcome back. I do think you are the first guest in our morning slot to have made two appearances since we moved to the slot. So congratulations.
Well, and thanks for your grace in starting at 7 a.m. and not before 7 a.m. because it is the weekend, you know, and I do try to sleep in a little bit.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to sleep a good bit later this afternoon. That's my plan, but I'm with you on sleeping in, that's for sure. All right, I want to jump right into the Douglas County story because you watched a couple of hours of the proceedings yesterday. Of course, Corey Wise, the superintendent of instruction for Douglas County Schools, was fired in a 4-3 vote of the board. The four new conservative members, of course, were the ones who voted to remove him. They are also the ones who, and we'll talk about this in a minute as well when we get to the sick out discussion from Thursday, who said we want to change the equity policy. So we're not ending it. We are asking the superintendent, their office, to reexamine how we can adjust the equity policy to adjust to new principles. We'll get to that in a moment, though. What did you notice yesterday, Priscilla?
Well, it was definitely a message to the public from the new majority about how serious they're taking their role. And there's a lot of controversy. I heard a lot of comment from the different board members who are now in the minority who were disagreeing with the process and the timing. But what came through to me is just someone watching the live stream that what I heard was trust had been broken. And it wasn't that the board members didn't feel that Superintendent Wise wasn't a great person. He's extremely likable. He's been a part of the fabric of Douglas County School District for over two decades. But apparently there's been a tug of war around loyalties or who was listening to who in the old guard versus the new guard. And so from someone just watching the conversation, just appeared as though trust had been broken. And once that happens, it's very difficult for things to get done. And there is a new vision. There's clearly a new vision, and these are time-sensitive issues. But I will say, I don't agree that the sky is falling. I heard that type of description from the board minority that, you know, it's the apocalypse and everything's going to end in Douglas County Schools. No, I think we have great educators and great leaders, which was said time and time again. They just need to focus on getting our seniors across the finish line and continue to do the great job that they've done for our students.
Yeah, I think that's well put, especially when you were talking about the difference in vision, Priscilla, when you have a new board majority that clearly has a distinct vision that they are going for, one that they ran on in their sweep election last November. It included the equity piece we'll get to in just a moment, but also just in general, sort of a new vision on masks, a new vision on how to approach teacher, parent, or educator parent relationships in the district, how the district interacts with parents and how they approach a variety of different issues. And when you have that kind of distinct difference of vision, you can't, it's difficult to let a person remain in a position where you differ on the vision for an extended period of time when you're sort of getting the ball rolling in your new direction and your new vision. You need to get things going, I think, pretty early on. At least that's what they might argue.
Yeah, and you know, the life of a superintendent is not very long in school districts. It's not usual to have a superintendent, you know, 10 plus years. You know, the life of a superintendent is a couple of years. I'm not going to comment. I'm not a board member. I don't know the conversations around personnel. And that's another thing. You know, I was kind of surprised that Corey wanted to have a personnel conversation in the public. That was his choice and his right. And my guess, that he wanted to garner some public pressure and public support against the board majority.
Yes.
But it didn't work out that way. And I think these types of sensitive personnel issues are probably better done in private out of respect for both parties. But you know what? That was his right. He rolled the dice and it ended up being what it was. And also I will say that I'm used to being in the minority when it comes to votes. You know, I'm a conservative public school teacher, part of the union. I've been outvoted so many times, and you just can't have what I call public temper tantrums. What I saw was kind of embarrassing behavior from the minority of the board. I mean, the theatrics and the drama.
Oh, yeah.
And the tears. And it was just like embarrassing to see that level of emotional reaction, and it really distracted from the conversation at hand, that the work that needed to be done. And so I would have liked to have seen that conversation more focused on policy and what the district is going to do going forward. And then the last thing I'll say is I'm hearing a lot of information put out by the teachers union and different people on social media that wasn't true. You know, the board was not trying to get rid of the equity policy. From what I understand, they're asking the district to review the policy and come back with any changes if necessary, but to have that conversation. And I think that's a very important conversation
right
to have.
And any changes if necessary based on certain principles that they had put forward. So here are sort of the points of vision that we have with regards to equity or with regards to these things in our district. Recommend possible changes to the equity policy based on that. That is my understanding as well. We're talking with Priscilla Ron here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. And let's talk about that equity piece of this as well. It's interesting when we hear the word equity thrown about on the one hand, and then on the other hand, you have the union in their sham sick out preparations. That is when they had their Zoom call, for example, a few days ago, plotting out what they wanted to do with regards to the sick out on Thursday. Hundreds of teachers shutting down the school district for another day. And one of the comments was, well, hey, at least they're all going to be equally behind. And I made this point out with Stefan yesterday. That's equity. That is like, let's bring everybody down in the same way, and that's okay. And I just found that to be the height of irony, given that they were supposedly very upset over the equity policy being done away with, which we just clarified is not the case. But at the same time, they're sort of exemplifying the idea of let's have equal outcomes by letting everybody be equally behind.
Hey, we all got insight into the mind of a leftist teacher. The curtain has been pulled back, and now the world can see what their agenda is, and it is shameful. And I'm embarrassed for the profession. I'm saddened for my colleagues who are teachers who didn't lie and call in sick, you know, in order to quote unquote shut down the system and rob our kids of an education. That should never happen. And I don't even recognize the teachers union. When I became a teacher 28 years ago, the teachers union didn't behave this badly. I mean, they're so distracted by quote unquote social justice issues that the very thing that, yeah, they're claiming to be trying to fix, they create more damage. And mm-hmm. So there was nothing positive, zero positive, that came from that sick out. In their mind, they think it's justified, but that's just how warped the thinking is. And I'm going to say to that one brave teacher who I call a rock star, I don't know who she is, but she was the one teacher on the video saying, hey, you know, I've organized Red for Ed in my building, but isn't there some other way that we can do this without taking away education from our kids? That young lady, she's a warrior. Mm. And there are more like her, I know, that need the courage to stand up and say, hey, this is not what I signed up for. I didn't sign up to destroy public education. I signed up to make it better. And so what does that look like? And that's what I look for when I'm seeing that these things happen in public schools. And I have to pick a side, right? Uh-huh. I have to decide, what do I believe? What are my values?
Well, and to that point,
what do I care about?
Priscilla, give us a little bit of an eye into, if you can, the mind of a teacher who, especially maybe on the early end of their education career, feeling pressure from the union, hey, you need to do this, which could disincentivize them from being the teacher that speaks out or being the teacher that says, you know what, I'm not going to participate in this. I want to be there on the school day so that these kids who've been deprived of their education for so long thanks to COVID-based policies. Notice I'm not saying COVID-19. It's not the virus. It's the policies in response to the virus that caused all this learning decline and everything. So for those teachers, what is the mindset if they feel like, okay, I have to go along with this?
Oh, yeah, that pressure, that social pressure is real. You being in a public school and being in the minority, it's really isolating. And I mean, I'm on the tail end of my career, right? So I've learned how to find my voice and say, hey, I've been told by the teachers union that I need to use my voice, but it's only okay if it's in agreement with a certain agenda. And I just finally said, no more. I'm not going to go along with a bad idea or a bad policy or push for something that I don't morally believe in. And what it can cause is the silent treatment, right? I get the silent treatment in my building. I have teachers walk right by me and not speak to me. I have teachers huddle up and exclude me from conversations. And guess what? I just keep on talking and I keep on standing up for what I believe is right because I do represent a voice. And, you know, you might be in the minority, but you might think that you're in the minority, but I can't tell you how many teachers come up to me privately and say, Priscilla, thank you so much for speaking up in a faculty meeting. I wanted to say that, but I'm afraid to speak up. And so, but if everybody who has an opinion that differs from a bad idea will speak up, you'll find that you are not necessarily in the minority.
Right.
No. And so that's what I want to encourage teachers to do.
And kudos to you, and very well put. Real briefly, before we let you go, I'll talk a little bit more about this later. But my column yesterday, Denver Gazette, declining enrollment, schools bear the blame. Of course, it quotes you. We have some startling numbers where nearly 27,000 fewer students are in the public K-12 education system, pre-K-12 education system, than in 2019. And I offer some thoughts here, but I just want to ask you sort of what's your general sense is for why we have seen such a precipitous decline in enrollment? And do you agree with my perspective that it is because the, in essence, in a nutshell, the school districts and their officials have been overcome by hubris and condescension, and they are not welcoming the perspectives of parents, the concerns of parents. They are overriding the wishes of parents regarding their kids and dismantling children's education, as we've seen over the past couple of years.
Well, yeah, and it's a reflection of the level of arrogance in the public education system that they know better than parents, and that it's their money. No, it's public tax dollars that we all contribute, because there was a time that we believed and trusted the system to educate our children and to do it with fidelity. But now what we're seeing is a falling away of true pedagogy and education, and it's showing in reflection of our test scores. It's in a reflection of the social-emotional problems that we're seeing in our public education system. It's in a reflection of raising young people to become teachers who don't understand their role in education. And so parents are saying, you know what? I don't believe in funding systems anymore. I believe in funding my child. And the money should go to funding children and not keeping kids trapped in a situation where they can't excel. And we're seeing it across the nation, not only in small neighborhoods and municipalities, but in legislation across states.
That's right.
Where people are waking up. And I think that this is a wake-up call to anybody who's a leader in public education or a classroom teacher. You have got to, like, focus, get laser focused on what the job is that you're supposed to do. And let's get some results. That's what I want to see.
Very well put. As I close in my column yesterday, if those with power over students' education don't wise up, parents will keep pulling their children from public schools, and we'll have even more reason to fund students, not the systems that ceaselessly fail them. Priscilla Ron, thanks so much for what you do in education and have done for so many years. We appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jimmy. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Once again, Priscilla Ron joining us here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we should be joined by the guy celebrating 4 years, 4 years on News Talk 710 KNUS today, if you can believe it. None other than Stephen Tubbs warming up in a bullpen as we continue. A News Talk 710 KNUS, the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Yes, indeed, folks, with the best bumper music known to man, it's the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS, and we're going to have a party right now because we got a man who I cannot believe it's been 4 years, but he is my friend, my colleague. You hear him every weekday from 3 to 7, and when you're talking about a four-year anniversary, which that's what I cannot believe, he's been on the station for 4 years now. You have to play a tune like that from Anthony Gomes on how we're going to have a party, because what else can you do? Brother Stephen Tubbs, good morning. Thanks for making the time. Congratulations and happy anniversary.
Thank you, man. It's great to be on with you. I appreciate it. And I've got to say, some of the best 4 years of my career. I have loved it. And I thank everybody for just getting to where we have just such a show that I think is unlike any other. You know, we all have our different styles, but it's just been the greatest. I mean, we've had such incredible variety of stories that we've talked about, and our callers and everything. I mean, seriously, I know the cliche would be, well, I look forward to the next 4 years, but you know what? Truly, I really do.
Oh, of course. And look, Alexa texting in, happy 4 year anniversary, Stephen. Still remember his first show with the stalker caller, AKA his mom, and another listener.
That was awesome. Yeah. I got a couple of calls yesterday or over the last week or so. I remember your first call. So I thought, how do I do this? You know, at the time I'm 28 years of newsman and over at Devil Radio and correspondent. And I mean, I've been so blessed to travel the world and do huge stories, but who should I get as my first guest?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had talked with my mom and I said, here's the deal. I'd love to have you be, you know, the first caller, but I said, we gotta come out with something different. So she pretended to be a stalker and, you know, she knew my kids' names and where I went to college and where I've worked and all of that. And you know what? Even yesterday, man, 4 years later, hey, I remember that first call. So say, I love working here. You have been such a great colleague and friend and, you know, and is there ever a dull moment? I mean,
no.
Last night, man, I got off the air and I'm watching. Everybody's crying last night at the Douglas County School Board meeting. I mean, we've done breaking news. We have fun, variety, and wow.
Well, there's a question.
Yeah, I look forward to the next day.
I've had in mind this question I wanted to ask you, Stephen Tubbs. Again, celebrating 4 years of the Stephen Tubbs Show weekdays here on 710 KNUS. And then it's, look, I've been an opinion guy since I started in college radio at Regis University in 2008. But I've never been a news guy beforehand. In fact, now I'm just finding my way and navigating reportage and actually doing investigative reporting and so forth, as you know. But I'm curious about that transition from a newsman to being an opinion guy, what that was like for you 4 years ago and how you feel you've gone into that role more over the last 4 years, how the progression has been.
Yeah, it was really, listen, I don't think, you'd have to buy me a really nice dinner to go back and it, you know, make me listen to, like the first, I don't know. It's not that I feel like, oh my God, that was the worst show ever. I can't believe it. I'm embarrassed. Please let's never put it on a podcast or anything, but I wouldn't want to listen to my first couple of weeks, if not longer, because it was a huge transition. And it was tough, and I was afraid to give my opinion, and afraid is probably too strong, but it's weird because I'm almost three decades of doing, you know, I'm trying to be as unbiased as and down the middle as I can. And, you know, I was accused so many times over the years at KOA for, you know, being far to the left, far to the right. And I figured if I got, you know, if you're getting kind of criticism on both sides, then you're pretty much going down the middle. But the one thing that, you know, in having the show evolve is, again, number one, I love variety. I mean, I think, you know, if you had the same type of show every single day, it's really, really boring. And then I started to really realize, and I know you've known this probably longer than I have, is, you know, it's okay to have opinion. And talk radio is awesome. And guess how boring it would be if everything that you said, I agree with, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I think we do so well on the show and on this station, I will be buried a newsman. I've got it in my blood. I can do news with the best of them. My resume, I'm not trying to sound cocky, but my resume stands on its own. I would compare it to any news person in this state. But I haven't lost that. But what I've gained is the ability, and through our callers, and they're teaching me stuff, and I'm growing and trying to get better, is, Jimmy, at least you know what you're getting on a station like ours.
That's right.
You know what you're getting on a show like yours. You know what you're getting on a show like mine. I can still do the news, and we do breaking news, whether it's fires or shootings or anything like that. But at the end of the day, brother, you know that we are a talk show. We are an opinionated show. And I'll wrap with this. You know, they want you to think with the mainstream media, and I've got to just stay local. 7, 9, 4, 31, 2, whatever. They are news. And I think sometimes they excel at it. Sometimes they're horrible. But they don't admit that, in essence, they are giving you almost that show opinion, but they use different ways to do. Does that make sense?
No, you're not suggesting that, say, Kyle Clark might be feigning objectivity, Stephen Tubbs.
Well, I don't want to name names.
Well, I just did.
Did you see his Twitter feed last night?
I did indeed. And we'll get to Dunko in just a moment. I do want to read two texts and all coming in on the 710 KNU US app. And also just note that in terms of your newsman, like that shines when you were covering breaking news, whether it is one of the tragic shootings that we have seen or the fires or other atrocities or tragedies. That's where you definitely see that. And the neat thing about the opinion format for your news is that you're able to weave in some commentary, but you do so in a way that is circumspect, because when you're getting that rapid fire news and you have a big story, you can't go gangbusters on your opinion. You have to be
exactly.
Very measured.
Yeah. And you know what? Look, I mean, if I may on your show,
yes.
My goal number one from, look, I came to KNUS under, crappy circumstances, and, I'm not going to get into that, but look, the bottom line is, I had a great career across the street, but God works in mysterious ways, and, this new kind of chapter, which is now 4 years today, I don't know if I'd ever just completely feel like, let me just go back and let me just try to tell you the facts. Cause man, I realize, Jimmy, and I know you've known this about your own, show and everything, is damn, it's fun to have an opinion. And,
yes.
And if you don't mind, having other people tell you you're wrong, yeah, there's nothing better.
No, that's exactly right. We got a text from Alex G. Happy anniversary, Stefan, from a loyal listener since day one. Thanks for all you do for our community. Another text after making a comment that I'll get to probably in the next segment. Happy company anniversary to Mr. Tubes. Ha ha ha. Listening to each show does bring some fun and education to the airwaves. James and one other. I couldn't stand Stephen Tubbs when he was on the other station. After he moved, I realized it was his on-air partner I couldn't stand. Hashtag faithful Stephen fan. So, all right, you got some love here on the board today. Stephen, I would be remiss since you watched, you said like 80% of the Dunko school board stuff yesterday, that show. What went on other than the fact that they did vote 4-3 with the conservative majority to remove Corey Wise as superintendent? What can you tell us?
It was a bleep show. It was a bleep show. And we're going to come up on Monday. I was actually thinking last night of how we're going to do it. And I think we'll edit, because it was obviously a long meeting, but we'll play you some of the highlights or lowlights. First off, I think, Jimmy, most everybody was crying at some point. People were, there was the dramatics, there was the drama, you had people, board member Ray at one point looks at the end to Mike Peterson, I can't even look at you over there. You're my friend. Look, I think Superintendent Corey Wise, who has, and I don't know the guy, but yeah, he's dedicated his entire life to Douglas County Schools. He officially has only been the superintendent less than a year. It might suck that, elections have consequences the other way as well. But, there's been a lot of parents out there that have not had their voices heard in Douglas County, and it still is beyond me. You and I talked about it on my show last night. It's like, how are we still, after mask mandates are gone, we're still forcing kids in schools to wear masks, et cetera. I think, it was time, whether you agree with it or not, it was time to pay the piper. Somebody paid in Douglas County last night, and because of the conservative leading majority, the person who paid was the superintendent.
How is it, we see this in Denver public schools with our best buddy, our mutual pal, America's biggest racist, as you call him, but then we also now see it like in Dunko, everywhere else, where it's become a show on these school boards, and we're totally losing sight. I mean, I think the conservative majority has sight much more on what the kids need, but there are so many instances where it seems like our public education system is just losing sight of its fundamental purpose and instead getting engulfed in drama, Stephen.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, Jimmy, over the last few years, whether it was the most recent from last year, you know, in Loudoun County, and you know, wow, we got to get the FBI involved. And I think over the years, people are realizing, okay, yeah, that school board position, that is kind of important. Boy, a school board member in a volunteer position for many of them, you know, boy, that's an important deal. They've got a lot of power. The one thing I will say is, and again, I think, you know, Corey Wise in Dougco, he's going to be financially just fine. Nobody needs to worry about whether or not he'll be standing on the corner of Broadway and Highlands Ranch Parkway, holding a sign, need money for food. Mm-hmm. He's going to be fine. But as harsh as this may sound, frankly, we don't care because we're a talk show now. We can give opinion. Look, it's interesting when our friends on the left will complain and cry and they don't like this and they'll take to social media and they'll gather early at a meeting and they'll hold their signs. Let's not forget, Jimmy, what they did this past week. This sick out on Thursday was not about the kids.
Nope.
It didn't have anything to do with putting kids first. And I think that was probably, to me, my opinion, that was probably the final straw where that happened. And then last night's special Board of Education meeting. But also, I wish that some would not lose sight of the fact, wait a minute, elections do have consequences as well on the other side. Mm-hmm. And it is just, the fact is, it's been a while since. Now there's a conservative majority on the Dougco school board that our friends on the left are seeing, oh, elections do have consequences. I have a really hard time waking up this morning feeling sorry for either the lifelong educator, Corey Wise, or any of the others that were crying last night and the audience had to be told to be quiet a whole bunch of times and everything. You know what? Again, let's just all be sure elections have consequences and it does go both ways. And I think for so many years, the left has just been able to say,
well,
yeah,
I agree. And the other thing too, is that they were pretty transparent on that Zoom call that was never supposed to have any portions leaked out publicly, where they literally were talking about how they wanted to take more power. It was about a power grab, not anything that had to do with the kids or a better learning environment. A final thought on that, Stephen.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was all about power. It was about disruption. And I think, Jimmy, that YouTube video that, you know, that came out about the union and everything, may this serve as just a reminder. And again, I know I've said it, but elections do have consequences, and it has to be what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So I'm not personally going to have a moment of silence for the former now superintendent in Dougco schools today.
Well, I have in my hand the world's smallest harmonica. And I'm going to play the blues for the teachers union for a moment, Stephen, just for you. Enough blues. Let's celebrate for Stephen. 4 years on KNUS. Congratulations, brother.
There's nobody better. And I want to plug you for a second after the show last night. You know, my producer, Matt, he's like, I got to get up to see Jimmy. He must have texted me 5 times from your gig last night saying what a great time he had. So kudos to you two. Thank you for the show birthday wishes and to the text that came in. Thank you so much. We've got a great show on Monday, and I could not be happier working for we're not the biggest, brother, but I can guarantee we're the best.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, I agree, and of course, and also, it's such a real treat to be able to call you a colleague and a friend. Glad to have you here for 4 years. I cannot believe that has been the case, but it's such a treat, and I wish you a great another 4 years and many more of opinion, letting Stephen Tubes loose on the airwaves. Congratulations, and let's see what comes.
Thank you, man. That would be Stephen Tubes, but
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I kind of mixed it together, didn't I? That's what
you
happens.
Did. Hey, God bless you, man, and thank you. And thank you to all of you listening. Even if you can't stand me, please listen 3 to 7 starting on Monday.
Yes. Tune in Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 for the Stephen Tubbs Show. Congratulations.
Much love, my man.
Absolutely. Right back at you. Once again, Stephen Tubbs joining us here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. He's doing a fantastic job. Really appreciate him joining us this morning as well. Very entertaining show. Doesn't have as great bumper music as we do, but, you know, it's not that bad on Music Mondays. We'll be right back again. The Jimmy Sangenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS. Never having a lose-lose here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, but we always have a win-win with the conversation and the bumper music. Man, oh man, little Tommy Castro doing one of my favorite tunes of his. Classic slow blues by Tommy called Lose, Lose. Good to be with you. Final few minutes of this hour. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will be joined by sports broadcaster Bill Rogan to break down this story. It's in the sports world, but really it fits in with the broader cultural moment and the constant, never-ending accusations of racism thrown about. This time now involving a lawsuit of former Miami Dolphins coach Brian Flores against the NFL, the Denver Broncos, the New York Giants, and the Miami Dolphins. What's going on here? Oh, well, he's saying they're racist in their hiring policies, discriminatory. Break that down with Bill Rogan coming up at the top of the next hour. My thanks and congratulations once again to Stephen Tubbs for joining us this morning, and also, of course, in the congratulations side for 4 years of the Stephen Tubbs Show. Got an interesting email coming in from Carol. And you can email me at 710knus.com. You go to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show page or my website, jimmysangenberger.com. Remember, all E's all the time in Sangenberger. She writes this: with the discussions this morning about the Douglas County School Board, I am reminded of the Jefferson County School Board issues a few years ago. Actually, it's several years ago. It was nearly a decade ago, which is really striking when you think about what went on. I think it was the 2013 election cycle. But the conservative members recently elected tried to institute, she writes, a review of the curriculum. Immediately there was an outcry that they had secret meetings and were trying to alter the curriculum. Eventually there was a recall election and the conservative members were ousted. Yes, indeed. By the way, those conservatives, I remember, Ken Witt, John Newkirk, and Julie Williams. I spoke with one of them at a Tea Party meeting in Lakewood, Carol writes, when they had their meetings in Lakewood. She explained to me that all they had done was request a review of the curriculum, as they had a right to do. In the recall election, they had conducted themselves as advised by Dick Wadhams and were then ousted. They said that they had not had any meetings that violated the policy. I'm thinking the left in Douglas County's case is trying to do the same, create such a royal fuss that there will be a recall and they will get their way and return to the more liberal board members so they can continue their social indoctrination policies. Carol, thank you for that email. I think that is extremely insightful and almost certainly what they're trying to do. The left is always good at laying the groundwork to go after conservatives down the line by painting false narratives, weaving false narratives. They're good at that. And that's why we need to be effective in messaging. It's interesting when you listen to that call, the Zoom call, strategy call for the union, it began, or at least an early part of that call, I believe this was from edited video, specifically talked about how it's messaging, as far as messaging is concerned.
For messaging, the purpose of this action is to...
For messaging, this is what is intended by the sick out. That's what it's all about, controlling the narrative. Conservatives need to be smart and savvy in how we handle this in Doug Co. and elsewhere. Learn our lessons, be smarter, hold the line. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger, Bill Rogan up next. News Talk 710 KNUS.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.